The Ask Theory podcast shines the spotlight on Pinoy scientists from various scientific disciplines. Listen to some of the country's best scientific minds as they explain what they do in simple terms and share fascinating stories of how they got into science, the incredible things they've learned about the world around us, and so much more. Paano po ba kayo na in love sa science?
Ah, okay, actually, so born and raised ako Los Baños. Parehong magulang ko, professor sa UP Los Baños, plant pathologist, nanay ko, then actually, tatay ko, economist. So initially, actually, interest ko economics. But towards high school, developed interest that in, actually gusto maging veterinarian. Oh. For that time, it was that interest. I think that was the time, mga late 70s, yung mga news about manipulation, genetic material, forwarding different things. And then at the same time, that's the nascent, the start of the modern biotechnology. Although biotechnology is long, starting from fermentation, but modern biotechnology about how we could manipulate DNA and all that stuff, which what's the word, the late 70s. So that's how I got interested. So towards high school, essentially got more in-depth. And the turning point, I think, was freshman college. So I decided biology. Pursued that, then there was this, I think it was March 1981, the Time magazine had a cover story of the boom in genetic engineering. So, So that was the reeling revolution. I think it was the IPO of Genentech, the first biotech company. And then coincidentally, I got a hold of a book, The Double Helix by James Watson, and you know, Nobel Prize winner, one of the, yes, like Watson and Crick. So story in lay terms, how they discovered the structure of DNA. So actually, this is my highly recommended reading for anybody starting in biology. To me, it's a must read. It shows that science is actually an exciting field. It's not yung just working in the lab, but actually trying to how discoveries are made. And in short, so that's very inspirational. So I decided, okay, yeah, that's the next thing. And essentially, that's where it came, the fundamental question asked probably many years ago, what is life? So from that turning point, essentially, kind of understanding the basics of life. But again, I had this interest in on the commercial side. So that's what, essentially how I kind of melded it. Then, of course, got through during that time as an undergrad, was involved in a program on research. So got opportunity to work for my undergrad with Professor Dolores Ramirez, who's now a national scientist. And then, tuloy-tuloy natin ever since. And, So that's your first question mo.
Very interesting origin story, actually. And I'm sure a lot of our listeners, siguro yung mga early career scientists din who are listening in, could relate to that story of yung love for science being influenced by yung whatever's current or yung emerging technologies at the time. But I would like to know a little more about your professional journey. And for me, your story is particularly interesting because while I get to talk to a lot of scientists who are very passionate about research, passionate about their fields, bihira yung, and I'm not saying that this is super rare, gets naman natin, pero bihira yung nababanggit talaga yung commercializing or commercialization of science. And I think that's very important to talk about, no? Especially sure, in this, di ba po, yung sa panahon ngayon na palagi natin naririnig yung bakit puro research, di ba? And we have our own reactions to statements like that, given they can be provocative, they can be, and we'll learn a little more about that. But meron siyang point. May point yung mga, yung ganong sentiments. Although they could, maybe they, we could argue they could be said in a more gentle or a more diplomatic manner. That depends on opinion ng nakikinig. But point is, there is value in realizing that research is not just about research. So we'll get into that. I want to learn konti pa about your professional journey. Can you tell us, describe it, tell us some stories?
Exactly. So based from that reading, the double helix, the excitement of how essentially they discovered DNA, so the lives of the different scientists involved. So I said, wow, shoot, So what's the next big question then? In a solving structure of DNA, is that the end of it? Siyempre, broader life yung what is life? The question per ni Schrodinger, pero hindi pa rin address yun lang ano. So the next problem is, oh wow, so protein folding. Hindi pa the next problem. So actually, while undergrad, and this is what I think credit my advisor, si Ma'am DR, we call her, Lourdes Ramirez, was she let me decide what I want to pursue freely, but then advising me what to pursue. So I got interested in viruses, the structure of viruses. So actually, I was still undergrad. Sinusulatan ko na yung, wala pang internet noon, no? So, typewriter lang. So, actually, sinusulatan, may isang particular program na interest ako. So, protein folding. So, isang program, like, structure of viruses. So, there's a guy at Purdue, Michael Rossman. Mm-hmm. So, hindi siya, so, crystallographer. So, yung method of determining using X-ray, malalaman mo yung atomic structure ng viruses, kung ano yung tsura ng kanyang proteins para makadevelop ng intervention strategy. Pero ang background ko, biology. So, remember, crystallography is more biophysics. So, hindi yun yung training ko. But coincidentally, meron siyang nakita ng program sa University of Tennessee, isang professor, Zenino Incardona. So, naisip ko, wow, interesting program niya. So, isang particular bacterial virus. So, a virus na nag-infect ng bacteria. So, PhiX174. Mm-hmm. Iniintindi niya kung paano mag-disassemble or ma-release yung DNA, ma-infect yung bacteria. So sabi ko, wow, so pwede i-combine. So sinulatan ko, sabi niya, sabi ko, interesting na pag i-combine, eventually ma-determine yung X-ray structure ng bacteriophage para maintindihan kung paano mag-disassemble. So, oh yeah, sabi niya, perfectly. Sabi, bago gusto niya makikollaborate kay Steve Harrison, nasa Harvard, at saka si, kaya si Michael Rossman sa Purdue. O, syempre, well, Harvard. Di sinulatan ko pareho, Michael Rossman and Steve Harrison. Di syempre, sumagot. Pero, syempre, pinadala ng paper. So, I think realistically, so, gano'n, kaya Spanish. So, nag-apply ako. Okay, isip ko, sige, PhD na muna ako kay in Cardona. So, syempre, yung techniques o biochemistry. So, ang ano ko, field ko, biology. So, tendency sa biology, kalimitan, mga cells, mga... So, curriculum namin, so chemistry, basic chemistry lang. So, okay, so kailangan i-load ko yung aking course ng physical chemistry, which is unusual kasi hindi, kalimitan, ibang hindi kumukuha ng biology na physical chemistry. Bago calculus, kailangan advanced. So, yun, bilang flexibility ni Ma'am DR na kunin yung mga courses na yun. Eventually, nag-apply. So, natanggap ako sa University of Tennessee. Then, eventually, nandun ako. Buti, unfortunately, right time kasi hindi pa siya nag-initial communicate with Michael Rossman. So ever since nag-PhD ako, yun, nag-communicate. So nag-start yung collaborations. So after naka-PhD ako, graduate, tinuloy yung post ko sa kay Michael Rossman's lab sa Purdue. And at the time na yun during that inverse, nasolve namin yung three-dimensional structure ng PhiX174. Mm-hmm. Part ako ng team and then eventually yung isang assembly intermediate na cryo-electron microscopy. So, yun yung time na combine yung cryo-electron microscopy at saka X-ray crystallography. So, yung mga groups namin under yung basement number two. So, that's essentially professional career. So, 9 years ako sa US, then reached the time na, shoot, anong gagawin ko ngayon? Ano na, parang na dyan accomplished. Pero syempre, naging academic yung path in essence during that time. Yes. Pero, na rekindle at that time na shoot, kailangan may ibang circumstances na parang hindi ko feeling na yung academic environment or yung universe academic career yung parang hindi ko taste yung academic career, yung path na maging professor at so balik ulit yung sa aking original idea na combining industry yung that boom in genetic engineering. So then fortunately, nag-apply ako. Then during that time, in different companies in the US, that time, may plan na socialized medicine. So medyo may freeze. So since Filipino citizen, naka H-1B visa. So I said, so apply ako. So apply ako different places, even Europe. And then, fortunately, may isang startup company sa Munich, Germany, of all places.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Called Morphosis. So in-interview ako ng CEO. Then sabi niya, they're building of Germany's first biotech company. Wow, sabi ko, okay. Okay, genetech to, no? Okay. So, recruit. So, apply, yes. recruit. So employee number 13 ako. So yun yung first ano. So lumipat kami in Munich, Germany. Actually 6 months on the way yung misis ko. Wala kami alam ng German. Actually misis ko may basic German. So music.
Adventure.
Then, well there. So my job initially was so structural biology, so modeling. And then the goal was to build a fully synthetic human antibody library. So actually, well, shoot. Nobody's done that. And mm-hmm. the people say, oh, so how are you going to do that? It, again, this is mga 1994. Yep. Then may technique na tinatawag na phage display, evolving pa rin yon. So dahil background ko bacterial virus. So nag-integrate ako. So hindi ko bagong techniques. So kasi familiar yung background ko from another angle. Pero coming to this field, again, antibodies hindi yun yung aking specialty. Pero madaling nag-integrate. So yun importante na having a wide a diversity of background, ma-adapt mo to a new particular field, may advantages. So at that time, so in phage display, again, this is 1994-96. And if you look at that time, so yung technology making antibodies, yun yung balak namin. Fully synthetic. So kung familiar kayo, we produce our own antibodies, di ba? Or kung gusto mo daga, mag-inject ka ng antigen, pag yung daga magpo-produce na antibody, gagawin mong monoclonal antibody. So ang aming strategy then was to actually build in vitro, in a test tube, the human immune system. And then ang selection namin yung bacterial virus. So hindi mo na kailangan mag-immunize. So yun yung tinatawag phage display. So this was 1994. Siyempre, yung model namin, we're gonna develop antibody drugs. Kung nando ka ng panahon namin, lumapit ka sa mga pharma companies, sasabihin sa'yo, I mean, you're crazy. Antibodies are never gonna be drugs. Antibodies are never gonna be drugs. Yun ang sasabihin sa'yo. Pero ano ang number one drug in the market today? Humira, adalimumab, yung anti-arthritis drug. Yun ang number one. And it's an antibody, human antibody derived by phage display. So in spite of the skepticism, kaya yun yung exciting part. So after that, during that time, maybe syempre, without going to details, so syempre may skepticism. So kailangan work out mo, may creative way na, okay, kung hindi pa accepted yung technology mo, paano ka magsosurvive? Kasi ang company, maliit lang, limited ang So yun yung, doon ako lalong naging interested on the commercial side. So it's not mentally challenging as well. Na parang yung background as a scientist is helpful. Kasi usually, kalimit na pagpunta ka science, tatanong mo, okay, may tanong ka, bago gawa ka experiment to address it with your hypothesis, anong best way to approach this? And then you could then address it. Okay, this is the way. So systematic approach rin na parang ganun rin sa the business side. So technically, hindi conflicted ang principle of science on the business side. It's just kumbaga yung way of thinking. Pareho rin. The principles of addressing the problem actually helps being a scientist. Pero again, on the business side, pag tinignan mo, yeah, parang conflicting. Pero the principle behind addressing a problem still remains. Actually, so being a scientist actually helps. And if you look at, kung familiar ka dun sa lean startup, yung trend ngayon, lean startup. Usually, kalimita pag nasa business ka, oh, sulat ka ng business plan, bago ano yung ano, marami kang models. Pero a lean startup, essentially, habol mo kagad yung minimal viable product na tinatawag. Pero wala pang market. So paano mo gagawin yun? So kaya test mo yung market kung paano mo dadala. So technically, mag-ano ka ng hypothesis na okay, so ito yung aking product. And ito gagawin ko sa market. So anong best ways? So yun yung test doon. So again, scientific approach. So then after that, so that antibodies then during that time, actually co-founded the company then from Germany. So again, ito Pinoy, foreigner. And then that was start now after Morphosis, we were the first. So naging successful. Again, nagbubumang Germany, Munich. Maraming perang pumasok na recruit nila. But bumabalik mga Germans. So capital was flowing. So sabi ko, so Morphosis was then... So I thought it was time to change, probably start something on my own. So that's where I started Xerion Pharmaceuticals AG. So another colleague with, and this one, we took a technology from combined. So we're doing phage display, then mass spec, because yung misis ko nasa Max Planck na siya nag-postdoc. Ang problema kasi noon, so okay, antibody. Yun yung time na genomics, nagsisimula yung genomics. So ang gawa, sequence na DNA, and yung pitch nila, pag na-sequence mo yung DNA, ng human genome, malalaman mo kung paano
mag-function.
Unlock the secret. Pero sabi, well, not really. Kasi nga yung problema. Okay, nalaman mo yung gene, nalaman mo yung protein. Ano yung ginagawa ng protein, di ba?
Yeah.
Hindi obvious yun eh. Miski ang buko ngayon, hindi obvious. So, oh, so yun yung pinasok. Pero actually, yung ginawa namin sa morphosis yun. Na, okay, how do we capitalize? Hindi pa popular as a drug. So, ginawa namin, okay, we could be a tool for, kasi genomics, no? Na-sequence na yung genome. So, anong gagawin? So, na-coin na word was functional genomics. So, yung buzzword din na pinasok namin. Gagawin, oh, antibodies for every gene. Kasi kailangan mo makarakterize yung bawat gene. So, yun yung, kaya nagkaroon kami ng deals, morphosis, then yun. Kaya na-propagate. Until the early 2000, nag-shift yung sentiment. Okay, acceptable ng antibodies as drugs. So at least may perimorphosis then could then develop drugs moving forward. So Zerion, in-address naman namin, sinabi namin company na antibodies, pero may technology kami in-import from the US. Okay. So in bahala, co-founder namin si Dan J. Actually, he was just moving from Harvard to Tufts University. So it was Christmas yata 1997. Kasi umuwi kami palagi Philippines, even though 40 years away na pala ako from the Philippines, 38 years. Pero mas marami kami Christmas sa Philippines. As much
talagang
as
na-uwi.
Yeah. So one time, 1997, I think, sabi ko, oh wow, this is technology. Chromophore-assisted laser inactivation developed ni Dan J. So, ito kailangan natin combine with antibodies para efficiently identify function of protein. So, again, wala pang email. So, ano gawin? Tawag. Ay, di. Yeah. I mean, may email na din. So, in-email. So, tawag lang. So, so Dan, yeah, names, blah, blah. Are you willing to start up a company? Yeah. Sabi niya, yeah, sure. Then, okay.
Very simple.
Yeah, then raise. Yeah, so nagsimula kami. Raise kami capital, colleague. So total, naka-raise kami about 30 million euros. Pero after 6 years, had to move on. Kasi pag evolution ng company, usually founder, kailangan mag-shift na to a clinical development. So hindi yun ang experience ko. So that time, after 10 years in Munich, 9 years old na yung daughter namin. Ang problema sa Germany kasi, especially Munich, by year 4, may decision, magde-decide yung state whether you are university material or you are vocational.
Oh, may ganun pala.
Sasabi ko, shoot. I mean, since hindi kami fluent ng German, although pinasok namin siya sa international school, mahirap tong ano to system na to kasi it's unfair. Yeah. I mean, people develop differently. I mean, you cannot decide a child's fate at that
based on just
time.
yeah
performance at that age. So lipat ko kay saka lumipat, then eventually na offer nagkarap ko pa English speaking country, then although US ang favor or UK, but then may offer ako Australia. So kaya ka na nalang sa a public company working on peptide on cryptome. So yun yung cryptomics naman, hindi as popular. So yung proteins, may malaking molecule of protein, pero actually na-discover na pag na-digest yung protein, na-broken into small pieces, may ibang function yung particular small piece or peptide. So tinatawag na hidden activities within a protein. So yun yung kinoy na group namin na cryptome, o yung tinawag na cryptomics, yung tawag na cryptine. Pero eventually, yeah, so yun yung start ko na Australia, then moved to cancer, then after that left, moved to another company kasi there's a company from the US and Germany wanted to merge and list at the Australian Stock Exchange, so Patris Limited. So since ako yung naka-base Australia, ako yung ging chief operating officer, so tinulungan ko bago yung nag-set up ng lab, so working with immunoglobulin M IgM antibodies. So nung at that time popular na IgG, pero tong IgM again hindi considered as drug. So again, exciting part na, oh, okay. So part ako ng team na, kasi limitation, hindi mo ma-produce in large quantity. So na-address namin yun. So that worked. Then after that, nag-shift ako then after around 2010 into natural products. Again, totally different field. So naging habit ko na, tendency ko, I don't want to get stuck in one particular field.
Yeah.
Kasi, curious ako sa maraming aspect ng biology in a way. So, hindi not stuck na ano. So, there's a company dito sa Australia that time developing low glycemic index sugar. So, napakita nila na pag kinoncentrate mo yung sugarcane molasses, which is a waste product. Pag kinoncentrate mo, meron sila mga polyphenols, bago pag binalik mo, let's say at 1% to sugar, bumababa yung glycemic index ng sugar. So yun yung, actually, pinagtitinda namin din yung tinatawag logicane, low GI sugar, sa supermarket dito, back then. And then, napakita namin na yung extract nung sumali ako, pag inix mo, so anything na carb rich, mapapababa yung glycemic index. So wow, so low GI natural, galing sa molasses and waste stream. Actually, during that time, well, lapita ko rin yung Philippines. Wow, so pwede natin yan, ano, Philippines. Pero walang interest yung Philippine sugar companies for some reason. Anyway, so before that kasi, nagkasakit yung aunt ko na nag-alaga sa amin. Kasi may brief short period of time na pumunta sa US ang parents ko. Bago sumunod ako dun sa mama yung, para mag-PhD sila. Mm-hmm. Ang nag-alaga sa amin yung tiya ko. So nagkaroon siya na stroke. So malapit kami doon sa tiya ko. So I took off 6 months. So I quit that Horizon Science job. 6 months in the Philippines. Assisted in her care. And then bumalik ako to Australia. Joined another company. Plantex was developing, again, from spirulina naman, an extract.
Okay.
Which was for antifungal, for nail antifungal infections. So actually that was, it's effective. I was a bit skeptical then. Kasi sure, extract. Yeah, like extract. Very effective. The sold in here Chemist Warehouse, and so, and then we tried to understand the mechanism. We had a working hypothesis then how that worked out, so that was fine. And then during COVID, things changed. I got involved with rapid antigen tests, so we had that. So it also was an awakening then, bale, realized a turning point. I decided that I'm not gonna work full time with a particular company. So during COVID, so I was recruited also at that time to be public scientist virtual. To help set up the VIP Virology Institute.
Yeah.
Kaya naging balik scientist ako virtual bago yung aking tour of duty na physically present actually in November.
Gonna
go for 3 months. So nag-commit ako. Pero meanwhile, so sineset up ang VIP. So even though virtual and even up to now, nagwi-weekly meeting ako doon sa project na involved ako. So we're trying to make... So ang goal namin is to... para yung Philippines mag-independent sa to make our own antibodies. Kasi di ba nung pandemic, immediately yung mga rapid tests.
Yes.
Even nung rapid antibody test, lahat imported. Although, I mean, you would hear stories na, oh, Philippines produced an PCR test.
Yes.
Actually, you have to take that with a caveat. No? I'm not to put those companies down. Those were just imported and you just assembled it. That's not making your own kit.
Yeah, that's right? Not manufacturing.
You can't really make your own kit. They're making reagents. So while I've been away for the past 20 years, actually I've been communicating also with Pinoy scientists. So we actually started a company in the Philippines making reagents to address that issue. So we make PCR enzymes, which are much cheaper, high fidelity. So it's a small company lang, but we kind of source that. So it can be done. Mm-hmm. But again, that's more a side project thing. And then... initiate collaboration. So even though I've been associated with companies, even back in Germany, meron akong strong connection with academics. So we apply for grants. Mm-hmm. Because in spite of my interest on the commercial side, I really think the basic research is very important. And probably contradictory sa sabihin ko sa iyo, okay? Actually, I think we should support basic research. And you should divide... I think it's wrong thinking. So this is where it's going to be radical.
Okay.
I don't think you should look at research to commercialize the mentality. Okay. Let me explain that. If you look at history, like the gene splicing, right? That was not invented because there was a plan we should splice DNA.
Okay.
That started as a curiosity that, oh, I want to see what the effect of, what if I transfer a nucleic acid from a foreign being to another, or another organism to the other. So it's simple lang, but then that opened up the possibility. But they were understanding fundamental basic biological mechanism. So not CRISPR. CRISPR is the same thing. CRISPR is an application, but that was came up from the understanding, oh, there are certain these bacteria somehow being able to defend themselves from these bacteriophages. So the understanding mechanism, from that mechanistic thing, oh, wow, I could apply that too. Right? So, kailangang ihiwalay ang basic research. And that's where we're underfunded. And in reality, kung titingnan mo, okay, we have, nasabihan, we not enough research. I think to me, if you're going to increase research, put more research on the basic. Because if you strengthen the basic research, because if you look at the biotech hubs around the world, which has strong, in Australia, it's usually Melbourne, US, it's San Francisco, Boston, the hubs. Kung titingin mo, kasi may mga universities doon na based na strong yung kanilang basic research sa history of the personnel. So, kumbaga, importante rin yung having strong basic training.
A foundational.
Foundational. So, how could you, go apply? If you apply just using tools, and then one thing I learned as a student, my mentors, yeah, we're really good at that. A mentor, you should never get married to a technique. So it's like, oh, you want to know, I'm going to do CRISPR, I'm going to do that. Yeah, no, it's like,
then just that.
Like, yeah, kailangan to that. Because, pag undergrad, kalimitan training natin is to answer questions, di ba?
Yeah.
I'm going to spit back the answers. Pag napag-grad school ka na, ang magiging bang nag-independent research ka na, instead of answering questions, magiging ask the question, bale. So, babaligta rin mo. Di ba?
Yeah.
So, hindi, bago, kaya nga, balik ulit sa ni Schrodinger, no? So, kaya recommended ka talaga. Double helix.
Yeah.
What is life? It's a very broad, but then you have to break it down. So, next recommendation ko pala, so, yun ang gonna basic. Pag na grad school ako, the first year, the next recommended reading for us was the Eighth Day of Creation by Horace Judson. Yun yung history naman ng molecular biology. That's a really good read. Makapal, pero makita mo yung paano na yung different aspects of biology. So, I think yung good foundation na, so again, going back to yung, so basic research, I think, has to be really important. That's why I think I always maintain the fine line in terms of collaborating with academics that have a strong basic. And then we'll just kind of pick on the commercial side, ooh, there's basic there, and kind of figure out how we could address. So I think communication, hindi ako in terms of formally balik scientist. So pinapalo ko yung mga research sa Philippines bago may interesting. So actually, naging part ako ng mga different grant applications sa universities. Kasi may interesting technologies lang doon na, oh yeah, pwede natin gawin to. Either partnership with the Australian company I'm with or with the US company I'm with. So, yun. So, yung collaboration. So, yun yung, so, pwede, baka mamaya pa na sobrang yung pagsabi ko. Pero yung fine line for commercialization, if I were to increase the budget, I think really, huwag masyado yung on the applied. I think that's where the mistake is. Kasi pag nag-applied kagad, nawawala yung, kung gusto mo build, especially, okay lang, build the intellectual property nasa basic research. So yung, mahirap eh, nababasa ko nga yung mga nagre-reklamo, yung mga ba research?
Yeah.
I think they're barking at the wrong tree. So where's the result? Actually, the result is not the product per se. The result of investing in basic research is what do you think?
It's knowledge, right?
Not only knowledge, but the physical asset would be the human capital. That's what you're investing it in research, basic research. So don't look at research nasa yung product.
Kailangan may puntahan. Kailangan may something. Yeah, sure.
No, but you should look at it. I think kasi mali yung tinitingnan na window. Kung titingnan mo, ang product actually, yung tao, the human capital you produce.
Yes.
So yung mali yung agad titingnan. So tingnan, okay, basic research. Wala tayong na-produce. Hindi. Never na-produce tayo. That person now understands how to do research and science. Kasi, science is not ano, di ba? It's a trial and error.
Yes.
Not trial and error. Yeah, going through mistake.
It's an evolving,
pag PhD ka, makita mo, shoot, meron ka na, so it doesn't work. Yeah.
Sabi nga nila, di ba?
Yun yung training. Yun ang aking tingin ko na mali. And actually, that's how I think yung science policymakers that defend it, not the result, we didn't produce anything. No, we produced the young men and women who gone through this process That's why pag nag-research, I think my feeling also Pinoy's has to be more open na collaborate internationally kasi the experience you gain is significant. Hindi yung mm-hmm. masyadong insular na, oh, tayo lang, bago territorial, na, oh, kami lang na, ano. Teko ko, then yun yung, ano, tingin ko. Then yung commercialization would come. Yung opportunistic na, kasi hindi na mga, okay, with the US, okay, course, kung basa mo yung The Boom in Genetic Engineering, I think March 9, 1981 yata, na issue of Time Magazine. Kung tingin mo yung story ng Genentech, so Herbert Boyer, Stanley Cohen, sila yung scientists. Pero may venture capitalist na si Robert Swanston. So siya yung nag-ano nang bring together to bring out the commercial side. So anong imposible na? So ito doon yung element of collaboration. Ang problema kasi tingin ko, pinipilit natin yung mag-scientist natin maging entrepreneurs. I think that's asking too much.
Yeah.
It's just, oh, kaya napipilit na, oh, so kailangan we have to do. No, I think it's, mahirap. Kasi iba rin yung kailangan thinking na bago madi-distract mo lang. So alam mo, pag na-distract, mahirap. Kung focus mo research, kailangan magpapagdatala ka ng tao may experience. Oh, could commercialize my experience. So bring together then, try to find out.
Yeah, dyan yung collaboration.
Partly, yeah, exactly. On a different side. But even within sciences of biology, kasi yun yung sabi nga, don't get married to a technique. So may karagang basic understanding. So, ooh, ano pa pwedeng take? So, kuha ka, physicist ba or biochemist? From different? Again, hindi ka limited within Philippines. Mas madali nga ngayon, may internet ng panahon.
Yeah, mas, yeah, even communication is simpler. Yeah,
exactly. Oh. So, we should take advantage of it, di ba? So, anyway, so, masyado ko na napuntad yung
Nga, yeah, ganda. It's a, ang ganda nung you were able to actually explain a lot of the things that I was gonna ask about. Lalo na yung with the part of commercializing. Even the word itself kasi tends to be loaded for some people. Like there's a negative sort of perception about the word commercial or commercializing. As I'm sure you're familiar with in your field, parang, for example lang, about Big Pharma. Yeah, no, and you know, it's some people would say... Diba? Yeah. Big Pharma is in the business of getting people sick para laging may bibili ng gamot and stuff. And,
I can understand. Yeah, yeah, no, yeah. That's a good point, Trent. Pero, yeah, pero hindi mo pwede, I think yun yung negativity nga na sa, I think, first of all, make it clear, I'm a pure capitalist. So, probably magiging negative. Again, have to qualify that in a sense. Kasi pag sinabi kapitalista, ooh, that probably exploiting people. Actually, if you read the original papers of Adam Smith, The Wealth of Nations, yung tinatawag na greed is good. Actually, kung titingnan mo from the purity of capitalism, it's the best way. Kasi with limited resources, you have to find the most efficient way with limited resources to make the most of it, right?
Yes.
And that's what happened. And that's, I've been proven. I think people conflate the problem is when capitalism, they mix with, they call it crony capitalism, it's capitalism. But once you mix, let's say, government influence with capitalism, there's a term for that, pero hindi ginagamit. It's fascism, di ba? Pag kinontrol na ng government ang private industry, that's fascism, pero hindi ginagamit. I mean, not that like crony capitalism, but that's not capitalism by definition. And yun yung sad thing na, oh, kung hindi ka capitalist, dapat socialist. Parang walang...
Yeah, parang division. Dichotomy siya na it can't be...
Exactly. So you could do good and still make profit.
Mm-mm.
So hindi contradictory, it's just the efficient way. I think when it becomes unfair, so on the pharma side, I could understand. Once, I mean, there's lobbying and all that stuff. So that's the whole problem, I think. Better that, yeah. I mean, if you could just regulate that part. But in terms of, you know, again, it's on the farm side. Okay, there's a regulation. And that's where I think yung, it becomes messy. Pero kung talaga titignan mo kung free market, kung everything is, pick ano yung mas competitive. And then yun yung, ano. Pero capitalism per se. So the commercializing actually is the best way to for the madlang people to access it. Kasi how do you make it economical? So, okay, you go socialist system, but it's been proven socialist system only works until they run out of other people's money.
Your resources, but and you have to make it replicable.
Limited. What's the incentive? I mean, the reality is you have to incentivize people to take risks and there's a pay. They should be rewarded for the risk they take, di ba? And then if you look at it nga, once it profit, but again, you don't want to force people rent because the way you look at it rent is like, okay, if you did good, you profit enough, probably you could say save some. And there are people who I think na nakakuha na sila na, or they could pay back or give back to society. I think yun naman ang nangyayari. So,
yeah.
Pero mahirap pinipilitin yung ibang tao. Although merong mga nag-a-abuse din. But overall, I think commercialization is the most effective way. Kasi alam, may mga na-discover na. Pag wala incentive i-move, paano yung mangyayari? Pero yun aking ano, viewpoint lang. So.
And the points you made are very good, especially about yun nga, yung when we think about how the majority can benefit, basically how the majority can benefit from science, yung taking research, turning it into things that the general public can enjoy or can save lives. But and kanina you mentioned communication as part of the whole process, and I'm not sure just how much or to what extent ng science communication has been required of you during your career, but you know, people are very vocal about objections to biotechnology, to products, and yung nabanggit ko kanina na big pharma and is in the business of making people sick. That's just one example of the typical objections that people have to these kinds of things. So I'm curious, as a scientist, yung viewpoint nyo or your experiences actually. And yung objections that you've had to deal with, maybe you've had to explain something to members of the public, or maybe you've had to deal with these things in conversation, kahit sa ganung kasimpleng bagay lang. And I think this is something that science communicators can possibly learn from them. How do you handle these kinds of objections that are verbalized?
Okay, wala akong so far, well, siguro mas medyo introvert ako na inyo. Wala akong na-encounter pa na.
But I'm sure you read a lot ng mga ganyang exchanges online. So personally, wala pa kayong masyado na-encounter.
Hindi ako masyado nag-go online.
Very, very wise.
Pag yung mga troll, yeah, hindi. Pero, I mean, okay, example. As a scientist, I tend to be skeptical initially. Because we're trained to be skeptics. So just because it's published, I encountered this during COVID. And which is a bit sad. I mean, I probably might be banned after this. So the popular one, my favorite one is this ivermectin. So when that first came out, that was discovered here in Australia. Okay, when I saw the paper, that's not possible. But then mechanistically, they said, okay, yeah, that seems to makes sense. But then the dosage was too high. But then later on, people tried it. And then the more studies coming out, like, shoot, yeah, there is meat to it. But again, there were papers, I think, coming in the Philippines and saying, oh, it doesn't work because it was published. Then I realized those publications actually claiming na ivermectin doesn't work. Actually a bit flawed. Well, not a bit flawed, significantly flawed. But then when I had debates, I think, on the Philippines, especially, I think I have this thing that, but it's published in a reputable journal and it's a peer-reviewed journal. I mean, that seems to be the default. Actually, in science, no. And I think one of the things I worried when people say the science is settled, nako, that's the one you read to be skeptical because the science is never settled.
Yeah.
There's always debates. So, and then you get shut down. I mean, that's why communication, when I read the Philippine papers and all that, it's very one-sided. So there's a bit of censorship, I think, happening. So, in communication. So I didn't, but there, of course, there are other extremes now on the big pharma side. I mean, I could understand, especially on the vaccines, how it was implemented and mandated. So I think I could understand where, and I could sympathize on the other side as well. But in terms of communication, yeah, you're right. I mean, it could be better, but it's always better the way how science operates. Yeah. And my suggestion, like we had the debate before. So I'm a member of the SPASE. So we had sponsored something on ivermectin. Yeah, so I gave it. But when you saw it in the papers, Philippine Star, Inquirer, the only side published wasn't that ivermectin doesn't work. So if you didn't attend, you'd say, oh, this is the conclusion. So I think that's where communication, again, don't want to be conspiratist na, but that's how it seems. So there's influence. So you have to have really, so the best way, if you could have two people of different sides debate it, and then you could then critically analyze which one has more foundation. Because that's how science works anyway. It's always about the interpretation. First of all, you have to agree, is the data collected correct?
In an appropriate way.
Yeah, appropriate way. Then, are you making the right conclusion? Because actually, to be honest with you, so those publications, which I mentioned, would say ivermectin didn't work. The publication itself, if you read it, you could find that actually it works. How it's concluded. So that's where it's sad thing. Now I realized that, God, people are not really reading the whole papers. But first, they're saying it's a respected journal. And they just result. So what they do is they read the abstract and the conclusion. But they don't critically analyze. So how did they come to the conclusion? I think that's what, don't know wala. And then social media, then the spread kagad, then it's horse medicine.
And then people start arguing online.
Only treats horses. But again, if you understand basic science, that's not true. I mean, if there's a molecule, and then of course on the vaccine side, and there's certain issues on the safety, that if you raise those issues, they say, oh, you're anti-vax. Oh, the masks as well as one where I got really pillared. Yeah, I mean, there's basic things now. It doesn't work. But then, anyway, but okay. If you want to engage a more scientist, it's better you have both.
Yeah, like read, be sure na mabasa mo yung kailangan basahin. And, so to be able to draw a more nuanced critical take. Believe one side or without looking into it.
Yeah, and yourself. Then even in science, it's strategy, I think, even our country should take that approach. Are you familiar with the 10th man rule?
10th man rule. What is
Israel?
That?
Actually, if you saw the movie World War Z.
I did, but I don't remember.
Okay, so if you rewatch it again, there's that part that the zombies approach at Jerusalem. It was explained really well there. The 10th man rule is when you have a group, I know the historical anita Israel, when the 1973, the Yom Kippur War, so Israel didn't expect, based on their old intelligence, that the Arabs were going to invade them on Yom Kippur. So they had severe losses.
Okay.
So after that, their philosophy, you have to create a 10th man. So if you have nine people agreeing, you have to take a 10th person with a totally radical view.
Okay. I think I vaguely remember. Yeah. Okay.
So by having that, so actually coincidental, that's how I've operated, Rene. Because when I, as grad school and postdoc, you always had these debates. And again, it's a healthy, emotional spirited, but for the sake of debating on, and it's a pretty much an intellectual thing. Pero, napansin ko in COVID, it's more like consensus. Not, if you're not of the same view, okay, you're out of it. So very homogeneous your message. So then so you can see the strategy. You essentially follow the same tunes, and then yeah. Anyway, that was my perspective. For science is not, and that's how I think it's creative tension, di ba?
Creative tension. Yeah. Pag
pareho lang kayo, and then in terms of from a biological point of view, evolutionary wise, mas magiging extinct ka if all of you are homogeneous.
Yes.
Pag something changed, you're gonna be wiped out. Pero pag may konti kang variation, diversity, ma-wipe out majority, meron pa magsusurvive na residuals.
Yeah, that analogy brings to mind yung mga mass extinctions that the Earth has been, we've been through like 5. So, yeah. So naisip ko nga yung parang like 90% wiped out and then just the remaining 10% was enough to like kickstart life again. Parang ganun. Yeah.
Took too much of your time.
No. This is and I'm sure yung mga perspectives na, these are important perspectives about science in general because people hold a lot of, like for example, some people sort of like believe that science is like absolute. But it's not. Parang
okay,
over time,
that's a good point. Okay, all right.
Diba? It's really like based on what evidence is there. Yun yung, yeah. We're not saying kasi that science is truth eh. I think that's a flawed way of looking. It's an oversimplification of science.
Yeah.
It really is based on the most credible evidence available na masasabi mo talaga na when you look at this situation, this is where it points to. Hindi mo sinasabing, ah, ito na yun talaga. Hindi na to ever magbabago. It's a wrong, yeah. I think it's a misunderstanding of what science is.
Exactly. I think you hit the nail on the head. I think it was a bit controversial in a way. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite topics, man. So people say, yun kan, the science is settled. Pag sinabing science, if you don't believe it, you're anti-science. But what is science, kan, diba? As you said, it's about researching the truth. Diba? Pag nagsabi, oh, this is it. Well, now you cannot challenge it. And I think it was obvious during COVID, didn't it? Ang problema, I think, once science becomes your religion, because remember, science is based on experimental or actual results or facts, things that you could see, feel, or this is tangible, right? Something you could measure. Because say you have a hypothesis, then your hypothesis, you test it, then you could measure the result. Now, once you cannot measure it, I mean, it's one thing you could extrapolate, then you could have a theory, but that you're then limited, I think, with what you could say.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you say that, because science, because that's what science says. Because religion, on the other hand, is based on faith. Right?
Yes.
And faith is to believe on things you do not see.
Yes, essentially.
So two things of the same coin, but they're different.
Mm.
Okay? So when somebody said, oh, you have that because science, well, but where's the data to show that? There's no data, or that's why I think you have to be skeptical as scientists begin. Oh, somebody published that. Okay, oh, how real is that? Kaya kailangan, the reason you publish also, oh, I could test that, whether that's true. And people repeat it, so they reproduce. Yeah, then it becomes, yeah. That's true. That's the reason. One of the reasons publishing. That's why I don't agree it's not publishable because not. Well, I think the reason you publish it is para people can repeat it. Might be controversial, but then the whole idea is to disseminate. Oh, somebody tried this, and then oh yeah, look at it. Kasi nga sabi ng grad student ako yung quote Enrico Fermi, yung physicist.
Yes.
In every experiment, there are two possible outcomes. First, your results match the hypothesis. And what you've done, you've made the measurement. Now, if your results do not fit your hypothesis, you've made a discovery.
Okay? Wow.
And I think this is a problema rin dito eh. People are so attached with their hypothesis na whatever it takes, I'm just going to make sure my hypothesis works.
Yeah, then
what
parang...
do they cherry pick.
Okay, yeah, that's not how it should. Yeah,
it should not be.
Because
as you said, ikaw nagsabi nga, di ba? What's science? It's about finding the truth. So hypothesis is just a mechanism to get the truth. You should accept hypotheses are to be tested and could be wrong. Then you
based on evidence, yes.
Based on evidence. And I know I've done that many times in my career. May tinatago na, you eat crow, so I don't believe it.
Yeah.
But then after I test it, yeah, I believe. Yeah, I've been many situations. I mean. And also, one company is working with that IgM company. So sure, they showed results that supposedly binds this GRP78. But when I look at the data, what? Could be anything. So I don't believe it's a no. We go design experiments. Okay, I think this, do this. And then late at the end, either coincidentally or serendipitously, yeah, we've pinned it down. It's definitely that target. Then I admitted, yeah, I'm wrong. But I know now with this data, I could confirm that is the target.
Yeah.
So I think you should not get married to hypothesis, but the whole goal is to find out the truth. Wouldn't you be better convinced that you knew what the truth is rather satisfied? Ooh, I have the right hypothesis.
Yeah, that's actually what one of the things I like about science. I don't think there's a losing scenario. Like for example, if you have a hypothesis about how things work and you turn out to be right based on evidence, okay. If you turn out to be wrong, tumalino ka. Isn't that great? Exactly. Either way. Yeah?
No, but the thing though is, okay, you didn't match it. But again, you made the discovery.
Like, yeah, yeah.
Yun yung mentality dapat na, oh shoot, I failed kasi my hypothesis didn't work. No, not
but,
really. You've proven that that is not, ano, there is something else. So you should then follow where is that leading you to?
There's
then
value
you generate
there.
A new set of hypothesis and then you follow that path.
Yeah, kumbaga, even in mistaken assumptions, there is value. Diba? Exactly. Hindi lang siya, it's not a failure. It's exactly. It's another step.
Exactly. So yun yung perspective. So yun yung natunan ko rin na ano eh. Oh, dapat yata in terms of education. I think we're going out na yata, no? Nakita ko, kasi when I was ano, undergrad, kalimita, syempre nagtuturo and I don't blame them. I mean, let's say you just graduate undergrad instructor. Parang didact, ano lang eh. Repeating what's in the book, spit it, then spit it back. Yes. And then in the lab, I think the lab is actually the most interesting part. Kasi I remember when doing the lab, oh, there's a fixed correct answer. Diba? Kung yung nag-experiment ka, diba? Oh, dapat ganun yung result. Mm-hmm. And then if your result is wrong, edi mali na. So people then for, oh, kailangan tama yung ating experiment result. But I think kailangan baguhin yata yung mentality na ganun eh. Pag nag-experiment, okay, may expected na result kasi based on, no? Pero dapat kunwari hindi nag-match, dapat wag i-negative yung or i- cross or a point against yung estudyante. But kundi, mm-hmm. ang magiging creative estudyante, oh, bakit mo explain na nag-ganun yung result? Ayun yung aking ano lang na another way to improve, na consider na yung experimental. So, hindi lang applicable to biology, but other sciences. Pero, yun siguro mas stimulate, oh, hindi pala just memorization lang.
Yeah, it's not just reading science. From a book and repeating what's there.
Kasi at that age, may instill na, oh, yeah, yung inquisitive mind na kung paano yung systematic way of addressing a problem. So yun yung aking kailangan medyo baguhin instruction. Hindi yung, kasi lalo na may internet na ngayon, madali natin, ChatGPT, no? Pero hindi mo ma-replace yung actual experience.
Yeah, true.
Of going through the process na, oh, did the experiment o ano. So yun yung binibuild natin when you invest in research. Yun yung mga tinetrain natin. That's the human capital na could then generate the next intellectual capital na mag ano kasi. Kasi may multiplier effect rin, di ba? Kunwari matrain mo yung mga scientist, you know. Eventually, meron sila, sure, they'll earn something, push back to the economy, the higher paying as well.
Yes.
Ayun yung aking opinion lang. Kaya, nakikita ko nga yung mga Senate hearing, oh, ano yung research. Then, nakikita ko, nag-freeze yung mga na-interview kasi, naiintindihan ako kasi yun ang expectation. Kaya dapat i-deflect yata na ang ano, ang pinaproduce natin yung mga, yung human capital.
Yeah, yung tao. Hindi lang, tao. Yeah, it's not product as in, ano, a commercial product. Yeah.
Yeah, kasi okay. Once, you, and the important yun eh, kasi lalo ng problema ng Philippines, di ba, not enough scientists. Kasi nakita ko rin, pag nakita mo na within those hot hubs, may critical mass. Kasi once may critical mass ng mga tao, yun yung magda-drive ng iyong success.
Mm-hmm. Yun. Grabe. Ang ganda, ng kwentuhan natin. Aside from the fact na I had some questions that you were actually able to answer already. No,
okay.
Ang ganda nga ng pagka-explain niya, it's like you were telling a very good story about science and you the things that I wanted to ask you were addressed along the way. So, ang galing. But I'm sure that this conversation, I'm sure it's interesting, but it also may leave yung listeners natin with more questions. Maybe some would like to talk to you, ask you some things, learn a bit more from your experiences. And yung you're not online much, but what are the best ways to reach out to you?
A big. yung email ko.
I've taken up a lot of your time and I've learned a lot from you, but I still have to ask you one more thing, which is what I ask every guest on the show, which is what would be your advice for our listeners na either early career scientists or mga batang nagbabalak na maging scientists, especially if they want to pursue their career in the Philippines. Ano yung maipapayo niyo sa kanila?
Yeah, Philippines. Yeah, interesting. Actually, Philippines, given the effort, I think there are maraming improvements. Pero I tip my hat off to the Filipino scientists in the Philippines. I mean, they're dedicated, worked with them, collaborated with them. And I mean, admire their persistence. And kaya nga, try to support them as much as possible. Now, advice, una-una, I recommend on the biology or science in general?
In general.
Science in general, I think I would still really recommend the double helix. Even though biology, pero meron doon yung, kasi kung tingnan mo yung history ng yung DNA structure, actually physicists were involved in that eh. And then chemists, lalo na yung kwento doon sa the certain part of Linus Pauling on the race of the DNA structure. Yeah, so yun yung recommendation ko. And then in terms of paths, I think you have to make sure na you enjoy it. And there's no... people may sasabihin, oh, may particular pattern na ang tawag ito. So kailangan sundin, stepwise.
Yeah.
Kaso kanya-kanya ano yan eh, journey. Depende kung ano yung iyong interest and what makes you feel comfortable. Kasi pag hindi ka comfortable, not enjoying it, I mean, life is too short.
why would you spend so many years doing something you don't like or you don't love?
Exactly. And then my important thing then, I think my philosophy is family first. One of the tools in science, it could be demanding. So you have to make your choices.
Mm-hmm.
But okay, to me, I think having family first, supporting family, then you could pursue your husband. Because I mean, could be challenging at that. But again, more important. And then the whole story is everybody has their own story to write. So you write your own story. So don't be distracted. Oh, shoot. Ilan taon na ako, 30, hindi pa ako nakakapag-PhD or something. I think huwag ka masyadong mabahala doon.
You're never
too old or too young or ano. Oh, I just did my PhD there. Oh, I did wasn't there. Basta yung fundamental. Kaya ano, and then, yeah, pag double helix, then 8-day of creation. Kung biology, non-history.
You know, that last one was very, very good advice. Kasi I think it's applicable not just din for scientists, but for everyone na nararamdaman na parang, ah, wala pa rin ako na-achieve sa buhay ko or wala pa rin ako nag-gossip. And yan yung kalaban natin eh. It really isn't too late. It never really is too late.
It's never too late. And then I think there's this, oh, you went to this school. Ah, hindi ako.
Yun pa.
That's it na. I set me back na. No, it's not. I think, kumbaga nasa iyo, everybody has their, ano. As I said nga, you have your own story to write. It's not about know-how, kaya know-who. Try to network as much as possible. Sabi ko sa iyo, tanda ko. Wala pang email or ano. Siyempre, may, ano, kaya sanay na rin ako, turn down, hindi sumagot. Ano, magagawa mo, hindi sumagot eh.
Hindi
further,
sumagot,
he says, sumagot. Boom. That's a good sign.
Yeah.
So that's my recommendation, yeah. So, wag ba, you have your own destiny to chart.
Your own story to write.
Your own story to write, yeah.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Ask Theory. Follow Flip Science on Facebook, at Flip Science PH on Twitter, and at Flip Facts on Instagram. And check out our official Shopee store if you want to get copies of our books, Historiang Scientifico and Science Scramble. Stay curious.